The first couple of years that I became a follower, the Bible says when you become a follower, he calls it being born again. How many have heard that term, born again? That is a Bible term, okay? So I became a follower, born again, and I was in college. And you know, I didn't get a Bible for 6 months. One, I was young and dumb. Two, they didn't have Google. I didn't know where you buy them. I don't know. I never had one. And three, I didn't have any money. So it took like 6 months until I know. So when somebody is new to the faith, new to being born again, give them a Bible. Gosh. And we keep Bibles in the back. You can ask any usher. We give them out for free. Okay? You can take them home. Now, don't take one home every week because you keep forgetting your Bible. I had a girl do that. And then one, about a year later, she brought back like 12 of them. I was like, thank you. But hey, we've got Bibles. So anyway, so I got a Bible and I started reading it whenever I could. I wasn't super disciplined. And then I met Jack and we got married and we moved to Penn State for a year. And then we moved out to Oklahoma where he went to Bible school because I said, I will never go to school again. Never say never. Everybody say that.
Never say never.
Ate those words. I ended by going like the last year. But it was really cool being out in Tulsa. We were just surrounded with people that loved Jesus. Just loved Jesus, loved Jesus. We went to this amazing church, and anytime the door was open, we were there, and I was pushing for the first row. I just was just so thrilled about being at church and worship. I came out of a denomination where I think I knew two songs. One of them's Ave Maria. So, and it was in Latin probably. So I was going to this church and I felt like the angels were in there singing with us. It was just a wonderful time of my life. And my pastor, every time he had a message, I was like, this is so cool. This is awesome because I was hearing things for the first time and just growing. So that was like my first 3 years. And then things started to die down. You know, like the air went out of the balloon. It just started dying down, and I was like, gosh, what's going on? And then I started to do this. This was kind of my default. Okay, I'd blame everybody else. I don't do that anymore. I try not to do that anymore. But back then, that was my default. So I was like, well, you know, this used to be so wonderful and amazing, so something, everybody else must be the problem. Anybody know any people like that? Everybody else is their problem. They're never the problem. Okay, so I started with the first one. I was like, well, you know, maybe it's God. That's how young and dumb I was. Maybe it's God. You know, maybe God's mad at me and, you know, it's probably God. He's just doing this and that. And I didn't feel too good about that. Praise God. So the other one was like, well, maybe it's this church I'm going to. You know, maybe this pastor's just not prepared. You know, maybe it's the pastor's fault. And then I thought, well, you know, maybe it's the worship team, you know, because I'm just not feeling it like I used to. Maybe it's the worship team and they're just not prepared. They're not prayed up when they get there. And, you know, I just started blaming everybody. I also was hanging out with some people that had walked with Jesus longer than me. And I thought they were mature, so I started going, I don't understand what's going on. You know, it must be the pastor, it must be the preacher, it must be the, you know, it could even be the devil, because you know the devil, right? And they all said, this bunch, you know, oh, D, don't, no, you're just off your honeymoon. The honeymoon's over. I'm like, what are you talking about? And they said, join the club of ruined believers. I'm like, ugh. I am smart enough not to raise my hand for that. But it was just bugging me. How come, you know, there was a season in my life where everything was like, wow, and I'm excited, and then, And this is what I figured out. Ready? I figured out it wasn't God. Anybody ever figure that one out? I figured out it wasn't God. I figured out it was vision. It was me and my vision. Everybody say me. Yeah, so you were smarter than I was, all right? And I figured out it wasn't the devil, it wasn't the people, it wasn't my pastor, it wasn't the worship team. I figured out it was me. It was my vision and my perspective, and that is what we're going to talk about today. Praise God, Pastor D, okay? So I'm going to give you my main idea, and some of you are like, main idea, what are you talking about? Big idea, what are you talking about? It's the main theme, it's the main thing that you're going to hear over and over and over with the hopes that when you walk out of here, it's like oatmeal, it sticks to your guts. It just stays with you. I like oatmeal. All right, so I want you, this is why we do a main idea. Some of you, I am not telling you anything you don't already know. But I want you to come higher with it. All right? Some of you, you know what I'm going to talk about. You've walked away from it. And I just want you to encourage you to come on back to what I'm going to talk about. And some of you are like, this is the first time. This is awesome. I love it, Pastor D. Today is your awesome day. Okay? So here's our main idea. If you're taking notes, write this down. Because even though I know I'm going to say it a whole bunch of times, so write this down. We don't need a change of scenery. We need a change of perspective. We don't need a change of scenery. We need a change of perspective, okay? Perspectives are attitudes. It's our vision. So we're going to talk about vision for your life, your individual life, okay? Vision for you. Now, look at the first part of that. The first part says we don't need a change of scenery. Okay, isn't that true? Things start going bad in your life and you're like, okay, I'm going to ditch that relationship. I'm going to get out of that job because things are just bad, you know, and we just want to change scenery. I've done that. Anybody ever done that? And you don't raise your hand. I got some people, they do that with like every 6 months with a job. And I'm like, and you know what I found out? I won't talk about them. You know what I found out? I would change scenery, but the scenery wasn't the problem. It was me. I took my perspective, my with me wherever I went. So things didn't change. Everybody say it was me. It was me, okay? So, you know, so you have to have an attitude change, a perspective change, because you're still going to take that with you. It's not the scenery, all right? It's not the scenery. All right, the second part. I love this part. Sure, Pastor D, turn the page. I know. I'm a note person, all right? So we talk about a scenery change. It's not a scenery change. It's a perspective. And, you know, Israel, they were that. Okay, the children of Israel, the children of Israel. And by the way, you ought to read your Old Testament. Somebody was saying, you know, read your Old Testament. Matter of fact, the New Testament says you should read your Old Testament so you'll know and understand what they did and why they did it and why it worked sometimes and why it didn't. Okay, so read cover to cover. Praise the Lord. And by the way, this beginning of the year, how many of you have ever done a program? I'm going to call it program, but in a good sense, happy face, Pastor D. A program on read your Bible through the year. Okay, I don't personally do that anymore, but when I was just learning to walk with God, I would do that. So I encourage you, you can Google, they'll tell you, okay? If you don't, I've got a pamphlet, just how to read through your Bible through the year. It's really good. Okay, so we want to understand the principles that these the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, the children of God walked with on a good day, and other days it wasn't so good. So let's start with Abraham. Abraham is God's man of the hour. God finds him. God didn't find him. God knew where he was. But God grabs him. He pulls him out of his nation, and he makes him into this leader of, and the children of Israel alongside of him. Okay, and it's really cool up there. The children of Israel were doing great for a while. They're just doing really good. Got their God's chosen ones. And then God has them go to Egypt. And at that time, it was a good reason to go to Egypt, but then they have a new Pharaoh. How many of you know the story? They have a new Pharaoh who comes in, and he's not liking this bunch. He has thrown the children of Israel, the God's chosen people, he's taken all of them, and he's put them into slavery. And it wasn't just a day of slavery. My kids used to say, what do you think? You just want us to be your slave. Yes, I'm your parent. Go clean your room. Let's vacuum. So it wasn't one of those things that was going on. They were slaves for hundreds of years, and it was terrible, okay? So they're slaves for 100 years in Egypt, and God raises up this guy called Moses. How many have heard of Moses? Watch the movie, okay? Read your Bible, better yet. So God raises up this guy, Moses, and God does 10 incredible miracles through him. Just the most credible, off the chart. And actually, they were plagues that God did. And he did that so that Pharaoh would let the children leave. The children of Israel, God's chosen people, leave. And finally, Pharaoh's like, okay, just get out of here. Just go leave. So millions of these children of Israel are leaving Egypt with Moses, their leader, okay? And they get to the Red Sea, in the meantime, Pharaoh has a change of heart, his hard heart, and he comes after them with all his armies, with all his chariots. And here's the children of Israel. They run into this Red Sea. They don't have ferry boats back then, right? So they're like, what are we going to do? And God splits the Red Sea, and the children of Israel, they go passing through it safely. And here's Pharaoh hot on the tail, and the water that was split comes crashing down and just wipes out Pharaoh. Wipes out his army. It's just bad for them, but great for the children of Israel. Moving fast forward. Now the children of Israel are in the wilderness, and they're in there for quite a while, and they don't have anything to drink. So God has water come out of a rock, and then they don't have any food. So God gives them manna out of heaven. And I was trying to think, what would manna taste like? Okay, let's see. Oh, a donut. Eggo, waffle, I don't know, but it was good. Okay, just get you on the page, all right? So I don't know what it tastes like, but he feeds them manna, and they have manna, and then they have manna, and then they have manna, and they start doing this. God, we like manna, but we don't like manna today. We don't like manna tomorrow. God, we're tired of manna. God, tired of manna. And then God says, they go like this. Well, God, we want some meat. I would have been that. I'm a red meat person. God, we want some meat. And here is God with millions of Jews. I forgot what the number is. And it's like they called HelloFresh to deliver. For millions of Jews, they just came out of the sky. Quail. Isn't that one? Just think of that. HelloFresh. Yes. So here is God. And then, you know, listen, did you hear that? And they're sinning, by the way. It's sinning. Everybody say sinning. Okay. They're sinning, and God still loves them. God still loves them. He shows there's mercy. He feeds them. And now they're going through the promised land. Okay. But you know what they kept doing from here to here to here? They kept changing their perspective, or should I say, they kept going back to that terrible perspective. Yeah. Everybody say bad. Bad, 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 bad. And they kept going out of that, the good perspective, and they started stopping fellowshipping with God, and they were sinning. Okay. But God is so amazing. And he is, okay, he always will be. So here we are, fast forward, 600 years later, open up your Bible to Isaiah. Isaiah is about halfway through your Bible. Open up your Bible to Isaiah. God writes to the children of Israel, okay, in the book of Isaiah. It is not the first time he's telling them this, okay, but what he says is so amazing. And he is going to help them have a good perspective. Everybody say perspective's good. Good perspective. All right, here we go. Isaiah 43, verse 18. Isaiah 43, verse 18. Ready? But forget all that. This is God talking to the children of Israel. And he goes, forget about it. Forget all of that. It's nothing compared to what I am going to do. Verse 19. For I am about to do something new. Now listen, it's not new to God. It's not new to God, but it's new to them. So he's saying, I'm going to do something new, all right? Verse 19, I am going to do, For I am going to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you see it? Okay? It's a perspective. It's their vision. So God is saying, I'm going to do something new. And then he says, do you see it? So it's all about vision. It's all about perspective. And listen, guys, we sometimes might have to have a change of perspective. All right? Change of perspective. Because if you can't see it this way, you're not going to see it this way, and you're not going to have vision. Okay? So you have to be able to see it. So notice the next part. It says, I will make a path. I will. I'm thinking about it. No, I will. You know, I might. No, I will. This is God saying, I will. God Almighty says, I will. I will make a path through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Some translations say desert. Okay, so what is a wilderness? I don't know. Yes, I do. Wilderness. Wilderness is a place that is so thick, there's no way out. Everybody say, no way out. No way out. Years ago, Grandpa had a cabin up in the mountains in Potter County, and it was just surrounded by woods, and my kids loved to go into the woods, loved to go exploring, loved to make forts. And I remember one summer, they're all out running around, four kids plus cousins and friends just running around, and it's, they come back, and they're all scraped up. And I'm like, what happened? Lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, no, it wasn't that. So I was like, what happened? Mom, we were deep in the woods, okay, and there were these bushes with thorns all over them, and we got so deep, and we couldn't get out, so we had to go through it, and we got all scraped up. I was like, smart. Okay, no, I didn't say that. But that is the picture I want you to see about wilderness, that you are so no way out, so in the middle of life and there's no way out. Anybody here have a time in your life where you go, there is no way out of this mess? Anybody in this place where you're going, oh, good, stay here, okay? And you know, no way out in wilderness in our life could be something, a diagnosis you got from a doctor. No way out. Mm-mm. It's going to end bad. It could be your finances. There's no way out. Mm-mm. No way out. Okay. It could be a relationship. Mm-mm. No way out. Okay. But God says we need to see with a new perspective so I can get you out of Dodge. You need to see with a God perspective so he can give you a way out. So it's so important to have vision. Okay. How about anybody ever had some times where just life just dried up? That was me at the end of my first couple years. Just dried up. It's not exciting anymore. Nobody ever had that. Like I read my Bible and it's just, you know, it's so dry. Okay. So one, don't blame God. God says, D, don't blame me. Okay. Don't blame God. Okay. Because God, if you have the right perspective, God will be the one that can get you out of the no way out. But you're going to have to change your perspective so God can get you out. Amen. Okay. So can you see it? Okay. Can you see it? Can you see a way out? All right. Turn over to Malachi. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, and then you smack into Matthew. Okay. Can you see it? Can you see perspective change? All right. So in order to see, you have to understand this really important thing about God. And thank you for the song selections. We actually sang half the answers. I was like, I'm going home. They sang my message. This is awesome. I was like, hey, do you remember that song? Okay, I don't remember exactly what song. But okay, Malachi, you over at Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, okay? This is what we have to understand about God so we can have and see a better perspective. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. I am the Lord, and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are already destroyed. Now, you may not understand that the last part, but when he said Jacob, he's one of the big guys in the Bible, had his name change. His name change was to Israel. And really, this is talking to the nation of Israel, and I really know it's talking to us. Everybody raise your hand, say, it's talking to me. It's talking to me, okay? Okay, and the thing about God's character, it says right here, I am the Lord, I do not change. I'm the Lord, I don't change. That's part of God's characteristic. He that's who he is, he doesn't change, all right? And one of the other characteristics about God is he is merciful. Thank you. All right, he is merciful. And what he's saying is, hey, you guys, I don't change. I don't change. I don't change. Because if I changed, I would have wiped you all out. I would have just smushed your Dan. Your Dan. Oh, did I say that word? Yeah. That darned. Okay? So he says, hey, I don't change. Because if I did, you'd be gone. Alrighty? So we need to understand God doesn't change. Everybody say, he just doesn't change. Okay. If he doesn't change, then guess what? I think it's us. We have to change. We have to change our perspective when we get into the wilderness and the dry places, okay? Because he doesn't change, so it must be us. That's a hard one to swallow. What? Yeah, okay. So it must be us. All righty. God doesn't change. Now, so the first part of our main idea is we don't need a scenery change. We need a perspective change. And when you have a perspective change on what's going on in your life and you figure out who God is and what God wants to do, then he's going to change. But it starts with, I have to have a perspective change, okay? Let me give you an example. I don't know. I was watching this TV show on dairy farming. It must have been a slow night. I don't know. But I thought it was kind of interesting because they're talking about Ireland. And I just think Ireland is the coolest place. It's so green, but it rains a lot. But anyway, so they're talking about this. And then the farmers say that when they want to send their cows out to pasture and they want to move them through a gate, okay, they say that if they move that gate over here, the cows will still go over here. And I thought, I don't want to be an old cow. Look at your neighbors. Say, don't be an old cow. Oh, yeah. I don't want to be an old cow. All righty. The gate is really vision. You can have old vision or you can have a God vision. I don't want to be an old cow. Okay, so I want to have a change of perspective and go through the right gate. Amen. I woke you up here, okay? Praise God. You know, another example. This past summer, the end of August, I moved from a house that we lived in for 33 years. I moved from York, New Salem to Dover. I moved to Dover, okay? And it was the first month after I moved. I was leaving church here, and I was going out. It's snowing! See that? I didn't even know that was going to happen today. I really didn't even check the weather. Okay. So the first focus. The first month after I move, I'm leaving the church and I make a right onto West Market Street and I stop and get gas. And then I'm going to head home to Dover. And I'm driving, and all of a sudden I realized I have turned left onto 616 South, and I'm heading to York, New Salem again. And I'm going, what am I doing? And to be really honest, because we don't lie, I did that a couple of times that first month. I did that, okay? I was like that old cow. Yeah, okay? So listen to this. We can become people like that. We can become Christians like that, okay? It's easy to go back to our old ways, our old perspective, the old cow, all righty? So guess what we need to do? We need to focus on God and what he says, on God and what he does, and God and the way he sees life. So everybody say, I want to see God's way, all right? So I came up with two gates. One's the cow gate and one's the God gate. No, two gates or two perspectives. And I really believe we need to understand this, okay? Now, I could have picked four or five and I'd have you here to 3 p.m. But I know you want to go have lunch and so do I. So I picked two gates. That's all we're going to talk about today. Two gates. Open up to Ephesians chapter 2. Can you do two things at once? I can't. That's why I've hit the mirror on the side of my car. Hit the garage because I was doing two things. Okay. Gate number one. Write this down. So you're going to find this. Write this down. Gate number one. Ready? Gate number one. Don't go back to the gate of hopelessness. Don't go back to the gate of hopelessness. Don't go back. Everybody say, don't go back to the gate of hopelessness. Alrighty. All right. Ephesians, I want to read this. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Never forget that once you were heathen. That's not good. That's not a compliment. Someone just didn't, yeah. And that you were called godless. That's not good. And unclean. That's not good by the Jews. Verse 12, remember that in those days you were living utterly apart from Christ. You were enemies of God's children. And he had promised you no help. You were lost. You were without God. You were without hope. I remember living without hope before I met Jesus. Amen. Anybody remember those days? I forgot who I was talking to this past week. I said, I thought I was just having fun. I found out it wasn't. And one day I woke up and I realized I was hopeless, right? So that is the gate of hopelessness, okay? You can live your whole life without Jesus, but you can be still doing that, not the without Jesus, okay? So what is the gate of hopelessness? I am so glad you asked. What is the gate of hopelessness, okay? Hopeless is there's no way out. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm stuck, okay? That is the gate of hopeless. Anybody have ever said, I don't know what we're going to do. I can't get out of this. I feel hopeless. Anybody ever have some situations in your life? I don't know what we're going to do. I can't get out of this. I'm stuck, okay? Now, sometimes we go through not nice places, okay? Some, the Bible talks about, and I think I did a sermon a couple years back, valleys. Valleys are not, they're not good. They're bad places, okay? And sometimes we'll say, I'm in a storm. A storm is a bad place. I just think it's worser, okay, than a valley. That's just my interpretation, okay? But listen, we can walk through those valleys sometimes and we feel like, I can't get out of here or quick enough. I can't get out of here quick enough. Anybody been in some situations in life and it is bad. And I'm like, I'm trying to get out of there and I can't get out of there or I can't get out of there fast enough. And you know, sometimes we're like, yesterday would have been great and I'm still in this bad place. All righty. But here's what goes down here. We have to know that God wants to get us out. That's your first right perspective. Because he's a good, good God and he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God wants to give you rivers in the dry places. He wants to get your rear end out of the wilderness too. All right? So we have to understand that. The day you understand that is the day that you can go through a valley with joy. You know, James chapter 1, I hated that. I think I tore the page out. Count it all joy. I'm like, rip that stupid thing out. What do you mean? It took me years, decades, okay? But it's perspective, okay? It's perspective. Because in those places, I can have joy because I know God's moving me out. I know he is God. And he can do what I can't do. And let me tell you, my whole list of what I can't do just gets bigger some days, okay? So, how about this? Having the right perspective. How many of you just love reading Psalm 91? Oh my gosh. That's a right perspective. He will get you out of every disaster. 10,000 will fall on this side and that side, but it shall not come near me. I have a perspective that my God's to deliver me. He delivers me. Psalm 91. Praise God. Alrighty. Another thing about hopelessness. It can be like this. I'm on my own. Oh my gosh. We sang a song about this. Okay. I'm on my own. Oh my gosh. I have to conquer it by myself. All right. Anybody ever like, I'm just me. Oh my gosh. What am I going to do? And that's when you can be helpless and hopeless and hopeless and hopeless. Oh my gosh. All righty. Now, hopelessness for me is thinking I have to do it in my own strength. And listen, some days on a good day, not too bad, but really a lot of things, my own way, my own strength, I'm hopeless. Some of the things I'm in knee deep in, I just feel hopeless, okay? And the reason I need a new perspective is because I'm hopeless. And when I'm not hopeless and I get the God perspective, I'm like, my God is not going to leave me alone. My God is God Almighty. My God is Creator. My God, he can get me through this. By golly, my God. All right? Perspective. Perspective. He can get me out of it, okay? Better yet, what do we say? He can make a pathway and get you through. So, now, I've known this for years. My God is big. I used to sing this song. My God is so mighty, so strong. Kids ministry. I know God. But you know what? Sometimes I fall into that gate. I'm the old cow that goes to the gate of hopelessness. All right. Sometimes we just do that. All right. And I'm like, oh, poor me. What am I going to do? I'm all alone. Poor me. Poor me. How am I going to get out of this? Oh, poor me. I'm stuck in the gate. All right. And you know, God's going, no, 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 D, don't go back to that gate. Oh, okay. Okay. You need to see perspective and vision. Okay. So he wants us to have some vision. He wants us to have perspective. He wants to have you see him so he can do what only God can do. Amen. All right. So turn over to Romans chapter 8. This is a scripture that just changed my life, and I know a lot of you. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans 8, 31. If God is on our side, who can be against us? Everybody say that with me. If God be on my side, who can be against me? Man, that should be your post-it note for the whole month. All righty? Now, if God is on your side, who can be against me? Now, back when I was just a little bit younger in the Lord, and I was like, good, all these people who I don't like, God, strike them down, knock them off, okay? It doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that, okay? All right? What it means is, God is on your side. Who? You know, everybody give a okay? Because he will bring you a pathway to get out of your stuff, your hopelessness. He will bring a river for your dry places. Because God is on my side. Praise God. Now, some of you need more strength, more power in your life. Well, guess what? He'll bring what you need. Some of you need just this. You're in a situation, and it's been 10 days, 11 days, 2 weeks, and it just looks bad, worser, you know that? He will give you wisdom, spirit of wisdom, with no end, and he will move you out of it. That's my perspective. That's a perspective we have to have. So, guys, we have to have a change of perspective, all righty? Now, just so you know, it's not just me. There's a whole bunch of people in the Bible that were having a wrong perspective. And there's this one man, turn over to Mark chapter 9. There's this guy, and he doesn't have a good perspective. And Jesus is going to have him, help him have a good perspective. But right now, he's got a son. His son has a terrible problem. He doesn't know what the problem is. So he goes to Jesus' disciples, and they go, listen, my son's got this problem. Can you pray for him? So Jesus' big dogs go pray for him, and nothing happens. Okay? His son doesn't get any better, all right? And then he finds Jesus later, and he tells him, hey, it's like the little kid, your boys didn't do nothing. You know, like the little kid that tattles. Well, I felt like this is what he was doing. So this father goes to Jesus, and he tattles. He says, you know, the disciples, I brought my son to your disciples, and they weren't able to heal him. So what can you do for me? All righty, let's read. Mark chapter 9, verse 22. It has often, so this is the father telling Jesus about the problem, that something's wrong about his son, okay? It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, everybody say that, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Guys, that's not a bad prayer, okay? It's a help prayer, all righty? If you can do anything, help me. And this is the perspective change. This is where he's going to have a perspective change. And this is where we have to have a perspective change. Listen to the rest of it. This is Mark 9:23, the next verse. If you can, Jesus said. No. Say it this way. If you can. This is Jesus. What do you mean? If I can. I'm the Son of God. I was the creator of the universe. If I can. And you're wondering if I will? Of course I will. Of course. If I can. Gosh, duh. Listen. So let's read that one again. This is Jesus. And he goes, if you can. Alrighty. So what has to happen is this guy has to have a perspective change. Because he's like, what are you? He has to have a perspective change. He has to see who Jesus is. He has to see that there is a hope and there is a way out of this problem. And Jesus says, ready? Jesus says, everything is possible for one who believes. Everybody say believes. The perspective change is for one who believes. The vision change, the gate change is for anyone who has a change of perspective. Say, I've got to change. I've got to change the perspective, all righty? So doubting God is not a change of perspective, right? Saying God, you know, doubting him, okay? This is a change of perspective. It's you saying, God, you are my God. And God, you open Red Seas and you're my God. God, you do created the universe and you're my God. God, I see that you'll do this for me. Okay, you have to start to have a perspective change, okay? And then the second part is, oh, and yes, I am asking you to make a pathway and a river, because you're my God. Okay? So he has to have that, alrighty? Now, when we have a perspective change, it releases God to do what only God can do, to do what God wants to do all the time. Because he's a good God and he doesn't change, okay? Now, let me ask a question. Can you see? Write that down. Can you see? What is the wilderness in your life? Where is the dry place in your life? Can you see? What is the thing, the valley, the storm, the mountain, whatever you want? Can you see? Do you have a, come on, I'm not the old cow. I can see the new gate. Can you see? All righty. Can you see God make a pathway for you? Can you see God make a river for you? Can you see? Amen. Okay. Now, I just loved having teenagers. Yeah, right. I produced gray hair when my kids were teenagers. I also joined a ladies group, which I said I'd never do. Really didn't like ladies groups because I had teenagers. And sometimes teenagers come with problems. It wasn't me, of course, right? So, and it wasn't Sherry. She was like the perfect child. That's because she's sitting here. Oh my gosh. Okay. I don't know where I am here. But maybe you've got a child that's a problem. Okay. Maybe you have a child that's a problem. Maybe you have a relationship that's a problem. Maybe you got a job that's a problem. But let's go back to the teenager's a problem. How about if you change? How to do this? With a different one, not this one. And how about I change my perspective on how I see that child? Because listen, guys, you are influencers. Okay? And we can influence people. We're going to influence them to the light side, not the dark side. Okay? And you can influence people. And there'll be change. But guess where the change had to start? How many of you, don't raise your hand, don't look at your spouse, look straight ahead. How many is like, God, change my spouse, change my husband? And I probably found this out 6 months into being married. God's going, I want you to change. Okay? How about the change starts here? My perspective on how I see that person, how I see that problem, how I see my finances. Okay? Right, right. So, some of you guys are in hopeless situations. Raise your hand. No, don't raise your hand. Okay? So I just want to encourage you. Can you see God making a pathway, making a river in your life? It's really simple. Okay? So now, here's the question. What are you expecting God to do? Oh, he doesn't do nothing. I can't believe I've been waiting for 100 years. No, no, no. Come on. Let's have a perspective change. What are you expecting? What are you seeing God to do? Vision. Write the vision. Make it plain so you can run with it. That was last week. All right? You got to have vision. And I encourage you to write the vision, because I don't know how many people I walked up to last week. So what's your vision? They're like, blah, blah, blah. I was like, no. And you can ask me. I'm just writing away vision, okay? So here we're back to the guy, back to the father. Jesus is actually just switching it. And he's saying, what do you see? Can you have a perspective change, okay? What do you want me to do? So again, what are you expecting? Okay, so now let's go from the old cow gate, the gate of hopelessness, and let's go through the new gate. Everybody go, new gate, new gate. The new gate's called the gate of hope. Everybody go, hope. You have to have hope, all right? New gate of hope. And the new gate of hope is God can do anything. God can do anything. It's God, duh. It's God. So we have to have a change, all righty? Now, praise God. How many of you are excited about a new gate? Well, let's just thank him. God, I thank you right now. I thank you for the new gate. I thank you that you are God, that you don't change, that your word is true. I thank you that you are moving in my life and the things that concern me. God, you are perfecting it. God, I just thank you. I see change. I see change in me. I see change in the situation. I see you bringing me through to a beautiful place. Amen. Praise God. Alrighty. So, that's a good gate. Amen. Gate number two. If you're taking notes, ready? The old gate, the cow gate. Ready? Gate number two. Don't go back to the gate of lack. Everybody say lack. All right. Don't go back to the gate of lack. Lack is not a good place. All right. Run out of peanut butter. That's not good. All right. Lack. Okay. I personally have fallen and been tempted to go back to lack, that gate, at times in my life. And even though I know, I have been tempted to do that, all right? So what is the gate? The gate is I can't make it. The gate is we're not going to make it with our finances. The gate is I don't have enough to even for a penny, okay? That's the gate of lack. Anybody ever been in that place? Don't raise your hand. Praise God. I have, all right? So lack, all right? Now, that's that gate, lack. This is the good gate, the new gate, the gate of blessing. Everybody say blessing. 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 I love it. You should be smiling. The gate of blessing, all righty? So in order to have this gate, this one over here, so I keep switching which side, the good gate, the new gate, you have to have a change of perspective, okay? Now, let me tell you why I need a change of perspective. We live in York County. I love York County. I've been living here since 1972, right? And I have not had a change of scenery for 40 plus years because I'm still here, right? I love York County. I love the people of York County. I'm believing for the people of York County. I'm believing to bring them into the kingdom of God, to show them the ways of the Lord and just their lights. They'll be in the kingdom of light. I love York County. But listen, it can be tough here in York County. I have some pastor friends that live in different parts of the United States, and they're living in places where they have population growth, just like wow. And in York County, we actually have the opposite. We have people leaving. Now, there's always an attrition where people leave churches because they die. One way to leave church, okay? And maybe they move for other reasons. But York County, we have large populations that are leaving. And the reason being is there's not enough jobs. There aren't any jobs. There aren't enough jobs, okay? There aren't jobs, okay? So if you have a business, now we're talking about perspective, but if you have a business, it can be a little tough here, okay? It can be a little tough here. It's not like my friend who pastors up in Cranberry Township. They had, what was it, Westinghouse move in there years back, and they had population explosion, church explode. It was great. And I'm like, yeah, but we live in York, okay? So if you live in York, it can be a little tough unless you have, I read this a couple times, and they wrote, unless you have a business that is recession-proof. I was like, what? Recession proof. What do you mean recession proof? Well, they said pizza shops are recession proof. Where's Jason? I have to tell him that. Jason Eckenrode, they have a pizza shop. Because even in bad times, people buy pizza. And the badder it is, they buy more pizza because pizza's cheap. So let's all go start a pizza business, okay? But it was just an interesting article. I had to think about that. I want to talk to Jason about it. But how many of you, you don't have a recession-proof business? So it can be a little tough, all right? And if your business is tough and there aren't enough businesses, it can be tough here at church. And I remember one time just complaining, a.k.a. sin. Complaining, sinning, and I'm complaining to God, and then people that complain want to complain to somebody else, because, you know, misery loves company, so I start complaining to Jack. Why did God bring us back? Why can't we move from here to there? You know, if it would be better if we moved over here, all right? And I just was kind of, and God spoke to my heart, and Jack's, but really mine first, because he wasn't doing the complaining. He's just like, golly, woman. So God spoke to my heart and he says, I called you to this place. I called you to this place because I get to show you how big I am. And I will show you and I will do things and you'll go, it was only God, right? It was only God. And I've got you in the gate of blessing. You just have to change your perspective. Okay. And then the last part, he just really, you know, you're feeling bad. And then I was like, wah! And he says, there are people in this county that are in the gate of hopelessness. And I have you here so they will know there is hope. I said, okay. So what is the gate of blessing? What's the gate of blessing? Well, the gate of blessing is this. Ready? God can bless you above who you are. God can bless you above your scenery, York. God can bless you above your education. And I am not knocking education. I think education is good. But God, the gate of blessings is God can bless you above your education. Right? God can bless you above your gifting. All righty? So let's trust God. Amen. Okay? That he can do what only he can do. So we have to have a perspective change so he can do what only he can do. All right? So there's this guy in the Bible. There's another guy in the Bible where God just, the gate of blessing. It's Isaac. Isaac Abraham's son. So we have Abraham. He's the father of the children of Israel. And then Abraham has his son Isaac, which is a whole way cool story. And then later on, Abraham dies. He goes to heaven. And here's Isaac, and he's leading the children of Israel. And he's just like the guy leading. And all of a sudden, there's a famine in the land. Famine in the land. We have never seen such a thing in the length of time there. But famine means no rain, not for a day, not for a year, but for years. And when there's no rain for years, your crops are dying. They're dead. They're not growing. So you're not eating. You don't have food. Famine is your cows are dying. Okay? They're not having baby cows. And it's just people are starving. Famine is not a good place. So Isaac is living in a time where they have had this famine for years, and God says to do something. Turn over to Isaac, not Isaac. Ah, sorry about that. I don't know where I am. Thank you. Genesis 26:12. Lane preached this sermon to me one time. I was like, yes! I just love this. Okay. Genesis 26:12. Now, back to Isaac. Isaac, God loves Isaac, okay? And Isaac has helped God. He's doing great things, okay? Genesis 26:12. When Isaac, and this is the Lord told him to do this, when Isaac planted his crop that year, what year was it? Famine. God said, plant in famine. Guess what happened? He harvested 100 times more. Everybody say 100 times more grain than he had planted. Now, it wasn't because he had some super duper burpee seeds or whatever. It wasn't because he had a new way of planting the rows. It had nothing to do with that. You know why? Listen to why. It says, for the Lord blessed him. The Lord blessed him. Everybody say, the Lord blessed him. It wasn't because of him. It wasn't because of the environment. It wasn't because he was just smarter than the other guy. It wasn't that he planted. It was because the Lord blessed him. Alrighty? So, we need to have a perspective change. And Isaac did. Isaac did. And he's like, my God is going to get me through this. And God did. He had a perspective change. My God's always with me. God's brought me here. God's brought me here. Look what he did for my dad. And he had a perspective change and God just went and did it. Okay. So the gate of blessing. Now I'm just going to share from my heart, just some personal things. Just, and some of you already are doing this, but the gate of blessing. For me, I have been walking in this gate, through this gate for 40 plus years. I have been a giver and a tither for 40 plus years. And I have watched God bring me through places where I was like, no way. And there was a way. Alrighty? Now, but listen to this. Remember Jesus talking to this father? And Jesus said to the father, if you can believe. Okay. God wrote the program. Okay, this is the way God designed it, if you can believe. This is the way God said it. He said, if you can believe. Okay, if, so what do we have to do? Have to believe. And that's vision. That's my perspective, if you can believe. Okay, if you can believe. Okay, so when you get to that place where if you can believe, you switch the switch of faith on, and then God can do what only God can do. And God's ways are bigger and higher, and I thought I had a great vision, and God just goes way over that, okay? But it starts with, if you can believe, alrighty? So, it starts with being generous. Write down this, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. We're going to go to 9 and read, but 2 Corinthians is written by the Apostle Paul. High five. Amazing. Apostle Paul. And he's writing to a church. He's writing to a church in Corinth. And he's telling them, hey, I'm coming soon to receive an offering. And he's just telling them to get ready. Everybody say, get ready. All right. I'm not taking an offering up today, so just relax, okay? Okay. So he tells them he's going to take an offering. And in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, he says, here's how it works. If you give a little, you'll be blessed. Everybody say that. If you give a little, you'll be blessed. But it won't be that much. And then in that verse, he says, but if you give a lot, you'll be blessed much more. I like much more. I like much more, okay? So he's just showing them levels of faith, okay? This is God. Then in verse 7, he says, now you have to have the right attitude. Everybody say attitude. If you've had 2-year-olds or 16-year-olds, you know what attitude is, okay? He says you have to have a right attitude. And then he says in that verse, and he gets his finger out and he says, and don't you manipulate people into giving. He's talking to pastors, and I refuse to manipulate people. I've seen it. It's disgusting. It makes me mad, not the pretty side, okay? And it hurts my heart. I refuse to do that. I will never say, hey, if you give an offering, then God will give you 1,000 times more. I've heard people say that. Oh, hey, you need to give an offering so God can heal you. What do you need God to heal? You just need to give a big offering. So that is manipulation. It's bad, 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 bad. Okay? And praise God. So I refuse to do that. But I also refuse not to teach the gate of blessing. The gate of blessing. And the gate of blessing is being generous. So that's it. It's just really simple. Okay? So I want to get down to verse 8. So we're at 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make it up to you. Oh, I like that. God is able to make it up to you. So what he's saying, if you give, I'll make it up to you. If you give, you're not losing. If you give, you're not losing. If you give, I'll make it up to you. Okay? So God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more. Okay, we should be singing more, all right? Giving you everything and more. Oh, wait a minute. That sounds like Isaac. God gave him more. 100 times more and then more, okay? All right? God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more so that there will not only be enough for you, your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. Okay. So God is saying, you be generous. You give as I lead you. You just be generous, all right? And I've watched generosity in this church, and I just want to say thank you. I've heard your stories of being generous. Just thank you. It's just wonderful. And I also want to say this just about me. How long have we been at this church? 34 years, something like that? Oh, gosh, it must be. How old's Jesse? How are you? 35 years. That's how I know. 35 years, okay? So I've been here, but every once in a while they let me out of the cage and I go to other churches. And wherever I go, I give, okay? I give, all right? Some days it's a lot and some days it's just I give, all right? It's just as the Lord gives me, okay? Now, why? Why do I give? I can do this because he saved me. He took a girl who was in darkness and brought her into light. He took someone who was a sinner and he put me in his family. He gave me his name. Whew, washed all my sins away. That's why I give. Okay? I don't give to get, even though that happens. Okay? And I give to other churches. I give to this church, by the way. I give here, I give to other churches, I give to other ministries because I want, like, for churches to be able to do what happened in my life. Somebody poured into my life and brought me out of a dark place into the light and brought me out of a place I was bound for hell and now heaven's my home. That's why I give, all right? That's why I'm generous, all righty? So, now, the real deal is... There have been times, and this one specifically, long, long ago, in a far, far away place. Long ago, Jack and I think we'd been married about 3 years, and we had a savings account of $357. It's all the money in the world we had, $357. And we're in a service, and they had a missionary, and man, my heart just, and they took a special offering at the end, and I'm losing it. Because God is speaking to my heart. I want you to give everything. Now, $375 or $57, whatever it is not a lot to me right now. But it was everything back then. And I was tempted to go be the old cow. Okay? I really was. And then I'm going to play it safe. I'll go to Jack. Hey, Jack, you hearing anything? I was like, yes, yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, shoot. He goes, we're supposed to give it all. I was like, oh, my gosh. Okay. And so we did. And I actually had my heart. So it was confirmation. So I had joy in my heart. I got my heart, my attitude, my heart, great. But listen, things were really tight after that. It was the best thing that happened to me. Because I had to believe my God is able to bring us through the dry places, that my God will do what I could not do. And by the way, at that time, I didn't have a job. Jack was the only one who had a job, and we were there's nothing left over. There was just, you know, okay. And I watched God be good and be great and be who he is. But I had to change my perspective because otherwise, nothing was going to go happening, okay? So those are some real stories, and I had to realize that God is able to make it up to me. Now, I didn't know that at that time. Probably took me another decade to figure that one out. But now I can tell you the story. God is able to make it up to you, okay? So I just want to encourage you to be generous when God leads you. Let him lead you. There have been times God says, put a bunch of zeros at the back of that. And there's been times he says, give a dollar. All right? You just, in your heart, purpose in your heart. to go through that gate of blessing. And that the gate of blessing is being generous. And just, listen, I watched, y'all just knock my socks off. Every year, especially last year, we did Christmas in July. Who remembers Christmas in July? Around here, as we give to the kids in Jamaica in July, so they'll have Christmas in December, by the way. And Miss Mary and Mr. Bob said, you just blessed, you blessed. So give to the poor, give as God leads, and he will make more. Amen? All right. So I don't like to talk about money, but I do like to talk about money. So that's my money one shot for the year. I usually do one more shot. So praise God. How about we pray? Amen. Why don't you stand up, close your eyes. Thank you, God, for being a God of blessing. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, God, you don't change. Thank you, God, that you opened our eyes that we will walk through the gate of hope and the gate of blessing.